Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
ויהיו חיי שרה 100 שנה ו-20 שנה ו-7 שנים שני חיי שרה. So of course the first question is, why do we need this interesting description of the life of Sarah Imenu? The Torah could have told us, חיי שרה 127 שנה. She lived 127 years. So 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. 127. Why do we need years and divide everything? But unfortunately, we're not going to talk about it. Maybe if we have time, we get back to it. Because we talk about it every year. Yes. Well, we talked about it every year.
I'm not sure that you begin with this.
But you have to start sometimes in the middle. You know, we start always in the beginning.
You don't reach the middle.
We don't reach the middle. So we now start from the middle and go back to the beginning. Excellent. And we're going to talk about Eliezer, Eved Avraham. We all know the story. Yitzchak has to get married. And Avraham Avinu makes Eliezer to swear him that he's going to do the job and go and find a wife for his son Yitzchak. When we look at the story, there are a few interesting things. He made him swear that he's going to make this.
And he committed him.
Yes. And this is the first question. Why does he have to make this thing? And Eliezer is
just to ask
like
him.
He trusts him in everything. So here is
because if he's asked at the other end,
he has a daughter.
Why are you here? And also he had a daughter. But if he's asked anything about it, he had sworn to Abraham to find a wife and a family.
All the things you say are quite true, but there is another interesting point here, and this point is, when we look, the way it's written, so it's written like this. Vayomer Avraham, this is Pasuk Bet Perek Kaf Dalet. The second Pasuk in Perek Kaf Dalet. Got it? The Avraham Zakin Baba Yamim, which is also an interesting point. What is Zakin Baba Yamim? What is written in the
That's
translation?
The same thing with David.
He was old, well in
the Haftarah. Years. The same. The Haftarah starts with the same.
It's
Haftarah. David. No, I'm talking in English. What's the translation of Avraham, Zaken, Baba Yamin? What's
well
Baba Yamin?
Well on in years. He wasn't a young man.
Baba Yamin, well on in years. Is this a right translation? What is Ba?
Ba. Ken.
So it's not exactly the right translation.
Came in days.
What is came in? And that's the right translation. Came in days. What's came in days?
Age came upon him.
Yeah.
Okay. So, before we go on, let's understand what is this Baba Yamim. Baba Yamim is, he's coming in age, he's coming in the day. So in other words, one of the beautiful explanations says that Avram had the ability in each stage of his life to take the beautiful side of life. In other words, when he was young, and by the way, the same description of the years is with Avram Avinu also. It's divided. 100 years, 70 years, etc. The same way as it is in Sarah Imenu, which is telling us something. But here, let's talk about Avram for a minute. So Avram, he is teaching us a big lesson. And this lesson is, you know, sometimes in life, we have those memories and we sometimes think, I wish I was young again. I wish I was a young boy. I wish. And this is a terrible thing, because we have to understand and realize that in any stage of our life, there is a beauty, because that's why God created the world in this way, and that's why we age, because we have a certain period of time to be in this world, and the whole thing is to get to the next world. So while we're here, we have to use the time properly. And there is, in any age, there is good and bad. When you're young, you have all the urge to do things and also to do stupid things. When you get older, you are wiser. You've got the knowledge, and you know this I do, this I don't do. But maybe you haven't got the power. So you haven't got the physical power doesn't mean you haven't got the spiritual power. And this is a very interesting point. When you go to an old age home, and you go to a place where they've got nothing to do with spirituality, nothing to do with religion, you will find most of them like staring the walls or doing nothing. When you go to old age home of a religious place, spiritual people, you will find out they're all busy and they're all living. And what makes it, what's the difference? The difference is that though your physical power is less, your spiritual power, if you do it right, is more. Because you are clean of all the naughty things you used to do. You have the power of mind to think about high things. And that's why, let's say for example, I never forget it, that the Rav Eliashiv, he was the godfather of my brother's grandson. And we went to Jerusalem, and he was then at the age of 100 and something. I don't know why. I don't know how old. And to see this guy, he didn't look at his age, must say. He looked much younger. Was vital. Was it? And people come in the middle asking questions. And he answers them just like this. Unbelievable. This is Baba Yamim. This is coming in days. It's go and use each one of your days in a proper way. Find the good in every day, in every age. What is finding the good in every age? It's to use every day. Don't let the day go just doing nothing. Take it on yourself, at least do one good thing every day. And this is Baba Yamim, using the days. And each day is important. And if we use it right, in the right way, when we come up there, God is going to ask us, okay, what did you do on Tuesday? Sorry. On Wednesday night.
Got to look in my diary.
You went to a shiur. I don't know about Gadi or not Gadi, but you went to a shiur. And this is a good thing you did. What have you done on Tuesday? And if every day you do something, you know you didn't waste a day. This is one of the big lessons of Zaken Ba Bayamim. Because if we look, Avram lived many years after this. And David HaMelech was less than 70 years old when it's written Zaken Ba Bayamim. So in other words, it's not what we think it is, old. In a matter of a description of a guy that hasn't got no power anymore is finished. No. It's using time in every age and find the good in every, and every age has got the beauty of it. Okay. Now let's see what's happening with Eliezer Eved Avraham. Avraham zaken ba bayamim v'Hashem berach et Avraham bakol. God blessed him with everything. Which is also very, what is everything? Mm. Is there somebody in this world who's got everything? So no. Well, what does it mean he blessed him with everything? What do we say in Berkat Amazon? Bakol, mikol, kol. And by the way, it's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each one of them got a blessing. Yaakov says, yesh li kol. It's got everything. What does it mean you have everything? What is to bless you with everything? Can anybody in this world get everything?
No, he has everything that he wants.
So, can you have everything?
No.
Yes. You just say no.
You can. Yeah. You can have everything.
You have everything what God needs to give you, He gave you. In other words, you've got everything you need. That's what it doesn't mean you have everything in this world. You have everything that you need.
To be content.
Exactly. That's the only way to understand and to be content, to be happy.
That's
a perkavot. Yes. Content. So in other words, Berecht Avraham Bakol, Avraham had everything.
He had everything.
Vayomer Avraham, look at the description. El Avdo, his slave, Skan Beto, the oldest of his home, Hamoshel Bekol Asher Lo. He controls everything that Avram's got. In other words, this guy, Avram trusts him 100%. So why?
You make him promise.
Making swear. Yeah. It's not promise, it's worse than promise. Yeah. It's swear.
Made him swear.
Yes, why? If he trusts him in everything.
To show him how he, you know, how he
important.
How important he was.
What is the difference?
I think between, not yes. Different.
Yes.
I think that he trusts him in, but if he has a son also that need to get married,
a daughter,
he can fail. You know, if a man is the first thing that is his children, his family, and in one moment of halasha, you know,
weakness,
he can fail. But if he swear to Abraham, is he?
Okay. So what's the difference between trusting him with his money, and his property, and everything he's got? And trusting him about a mission to go and bring a wife to Yitzhak.
I think it was a very difficult mission.
Because he wanted to...
It's a spiritual mission.
Spiritual. He wanted Bemeta, his daughter, to get married with the son of Abraham.
No,
okay.
He wanted the daughter to get married with the son.
Okay.
And this is something that is inside.
No, so I'll ask you another question. If you say like this, so is he the right messenger? Yeah. Is he the right person to do this job?
Was he shut?
Yes, because he trusted him.
No.
Decide.
No.
You said he trusts him, but then you say he swore him because he didn't trust him. So is he trusting him or is he not trusting him?
No, he trusts, but a man can fail.
So I'm saying, so take somebody else to do the job. Avram is not alone in this world. He's got a lot of slaves. Take somebody else. Why do you use him and you make him swear?
This was the head of his household.
So
he trusted him with everything.
we get again to the same question in a circle. Okay, let's understand the difference. The difference is, I don't remember who it was. It was this great rabbi. He came once to a Jewish
bed and breakfast.
They call it inn today. Whatever. Bed and breakfast.
Bed and breakfast. Yeah, this is what
it is. Holiday Inn. He came to a Jewish Holiday Inn. And he's sitting there, and the owner comes to him and says, could you maybe do shchita for a few chickens I've got? Because I've finished my chickens and I need more for the guest. Maybe can you do shchita? Says, I'm not a shochet. I cannot do this. Half an hour later, this rabbi comes to the owner of the center. Can you loan me $1,000?
$1,000?
I don't know you. Who? Why should I loan you $1,000? I said, half an hour ago, you were willing to give me the shchita, and you don't know me, to eat all your guests would eat treif. Now, when I ask you money, you don't know me. And that's exactly the difference. When it was talking about possessions, physical possession, about property, about money, Avraham Avinu trusted Eliezer 100%. But when it comes to kosher, to find a kosher wife, a spiritual matter, you trust nobody. That's the difference between when we go and look, we are hungry, we look at the restaurant, we see the Tudat Kashrut, we go in and eat. But if somebody will offer us a diamond in the middle of the street, and it's written on the box, Ya'alom, 2 carats instead of $200,000, $20,000. Would you buy it?
No.
Why? Why not?
Suspicious. Don't trust
him. It's written. But when you go to a restaurant, do you check the Tudat Kashrut?
Of course.
Yes.
Depends who you...
Not everybody.
That's right.
a lot of times we go, it's kosher, oh, they've got sit to that, and no. Okay, this is it.
But you don't check who give the kosher.
Whatever it is, you behave this differently. You behave, let's say, in a different way. That's what I'm saying. You act differently when you check the kashrut of the place, when you check a diamond. And it should be the opposite. And Avraham Avinu, it's the opposite. When it's regarding money, he's got no problem. When it's regarding spiritual matters,
he's got enough.
Then I have to make sure it works exactly as I want.
Also, as the foreman, he was a foreman basically of his business and household.
Yeah.
He had to probably, he made decisions on his own.
Of course.
Okay. So I mean, he made decisions on his own because Avram trusted him. He said, "Okay, you can make it." But when it came to something like this, he swore him because he didn't want him to make any other decision on his own. He wanted him to do exactly as he was told.
What did you tell him?
Go
and find a wife. That's it.
Right.
And that's exactly the problem. What you're saying is quite right. But it doesn't get any sophistication what Avram really wants. It doesn't tell him, I want her at the age of this. I want her spiritual. I want her to be like this. Nothing.
No, but he wants
a wife.
Wants him to come back with a wife.
Yes.
To say, well,
but again, we come to the same point. If it's so important for you.
Right, so you swear.
So we have here two sides. We have to understand who Eliezer is. Not only Avram. We don't realize who Eliezer is. Eliezer is
someone special, a messenger of God.
A rabbi, one of the Gdolei Ador in the Avram generation. He is his right hand. He learns with Avram. The Midrash says, Dole umashke mitorat rabo. He is learning from Avram and he's teaching others. In other words, if we'll imagine to us a yeshiva, Avram Avinu is the Rosh Yeshiva, and Eliezer is the Mashgiach. And he is his Chavruta. They learn together. Now, this Chavruta has got a daughter. What would you think? What is more suitable? The daughter of the Mashgiach of the yeshiva? The Chavruta, or some girl from a place where they worship idols, and we know exactly where the place was. So what would you think, logical, is better?
Eliezer's daughter.
Eliezer comes to Avram and says, I've got a daughter. He says, Baruch lo nidbak be'arur. I am blessed, you are cursed. Cannot join together.
What does that mean?
That's what Avraham Avinu said. Eliezer, tell Eliezer. Yes, it doesn't sound good. Yes.
No.
If you go back to the yeshiva and the Rosh Yeshiva tells his chavruta, you are cursed and I am blessed and we cannot have a match.
That's from the Torah, he
said.
That's in the Torah.
Obviously.
He says that.
That's
what
you say.
Where does he say it?
That is a midrash.
But the
midrash comes from the Torah. The Torah that also doesn't tell you he's got a daughter. But we all know he's got a daughter. The Torah doesn't tell us everything. The Torah hints, and we have to find in what's going on. That's, by the way, one of the reasons that he is very strong about swearing. He makes him swear. Because a lot of things involved.
Yeah, because he figures he'll bring his daughter. So he swears.
So we decide he's got a daughter. And we also can think that the daughter is very suitable, because otherwise Eliezer wouldn't even think about giving his daughter to Yitzchak. So now, telling Eliezer that he cannot be a match doesn't sound good. Other guy would just run away and says, you know what, I don't want to know anything about you. Finished. But he's a slave, he has to do the job. But is he the right man to do the job? With all those things going around? After he heard what Avram is telling him, no, your daughter is not suitable for me. It's not exactly the right messenger. But now you'll see an interesting point.
So he committed him.
He committed him, but that's not enough. We have to understand who Eliezer is. And in order to understand who Eliezer is, I asked you, I think, also a few years ago, please find me the name of Eliezer in the parsha. So how do we know it's Eliezer?
Avdo.
There is not once written the name of Eliezer.
So. Ah.
Then there is another strange thing.
So there's also a midrash.
No, that's not a midrash. That's in the Torah. It's not written. It's not written.
No, she's saying is the fact that it's Eliezer, a midrash.
No, it's very clear that it is because it says Avdo Ne'eman Beto, and we all knew a parsha before when he's talking about I've got no son, and who is going to inherit me is my slave, which is my Ne'eman Beiti, Eliezer. Then he says Eliezer.
Damesek
Eliezer. But not in our parsha.
Oh, okay.
So we know it's Eliezer because the scripture is very clear. It's like I tell you, you know, he is the son of the prime minister, he is in the age of this, and he's blonde, and this all around, everybody knows who he is, but I won't tell you the name. That's exactly the description here. What is written here is like this.
The son of the prime minister.
So is there a reason that the name is not written?
Yes, of course. Must be a reason.
Oh,
but and that's not the reason?
Our sages knew the reason, and I'm going to tell it to you in a minute.
As long as the sages knew.
Because, you know, we read, we don't even think about that his name is not there. It's for us, it's obvious, it's Eliezer. But it's not written that it's Eliezer. Now there's another strange thing. If we look through the parsha, we will see that he's called slave with no name. But then, when he gets into the house of Lavan and his father, who was the father?
Lavan's father.
Betuel Arami. He comes to the house of Betuel. He is suddenly called Ish.
A man.
Yeah. A man. He's not a slave anymore. He is an Ish. You can see it here. When we look through the parsha, for example, I will show you a few places. Vayomer elav ha'eved, slave. Then go a little farther. Vayikach ha'eved.
What number is it?
When you look at the Shlishi, you can see Shlishi.
Yeah.
What's written? Vayikacha Eved.
Yeah.
Before also written the Eved. We don't go on all of them. Let's go a little farther. Yeah. And Pasu. Pasuk. I cannot see. Pasuk Yud Zayin, I think. Vayarot. Got it? Yeah. Vayarot Zaevet.
Is a puzzle?
Yud Zayin. Okay. 17.
Yeah,
17. You see? Vayarot Zaevet? Okay. Evet. Then, look at Pasuk Kaf Aleph, 21.
Ish.
Ish.
Suddenly he became a Ish.
Then go on.
Became a
man. The next pasuk. Vayikach.
The next pasuk. Vayikach.
Aish.
Aish. Again.
Let's go on.
Let's go on.
Let's, for example, let's look at pasuk kafte 29.
Kafte.
Vayarot Lavan el.
Aish. Yeah.
So okay. So what make the Torah change his qualification from slave to Ish?
We're not finished yet.
You want to find but more Ish?
No more Ish. We want to find if it's going on. If now he's going to be called Ish all the time. What do you think?
He's been promoted. No. He's not a slave anymore.
No. Ah, he changed.
That's what I'm saying. That's the we have to learning Torah is to look and find all those things that are not exactly right, or you have it double times. And for example, the story of Eliezer is twice in the Torah, and on this we'll come into a minute. We'll understand why. But first of all, let's see what's happened to this Ish.
And so he became an ish when he had to do his business.
Right. After he made the promise.
With the brother.
Let's see when he's finishing.
When he became a slave again.
We have the whole story again. And then... in Pasuk Nun Aleph, what is this? Nun Aleph, Nun Bet.
Nun Bet.
Nun Bet, 52. Eved Avraham. Vayhi kasher shama Eved Avraham. And from this moment on, he is again an Eved. So let's understand what happened here. The guy's name is not mentioned.
What was this moment? What happened?
This is when he's going. When he's finishing the deal about the marriage.
Okay, so
the engagement.
So Doreen said the same right thing. He became a man when he began to deal with the negotiations. And when he finished it, he became a slave again.
No, the negotiations is finished. Now he's giving them presents. He's giving presents. And then he sent. Okay, I want to go now. No, but there is...
but he's still there.
Yes. So we have to understand, first of all, why is his name not mentioned? Then, why is he called slave and then man and then slave again? What happened that he was changed to be called a man? And what happened that he's again called a slave? So the answer is very interesting.
Because he was representing Abraham.
Can I guess something?
Yes, Bakashor.
He became a man when he began to negotiate because they want them to keep.
Is there a difference between a man and a slave?
Well, sure. A slave is more specific than a man. A slave can be a man.
And a man can be a slave.
Wait a minute.
I'm asking the question because this is the way we'll get to the idea behind it.
No, but a man can be many more things. Okay, a man can be a king, a man can be
a slave.
What does it mean? Okay, so let's now understand.
A man has the power to negotiate. A slave, he can only do things that his master told him to do.
Yeah, but we say a minute ago we said that a man can be a slave can be a man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but this...
So now we have to understand what is the difference between a man and a slave.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
So man can come with Ish Tzadik, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira, Ve'a Ish Moshe. Okay. What's going on?
Well, it's more of a title.
A title of being a mensch.
Right.
In other words, Ish is when you complete. Ish is the creation of God. And Ish is somebody who earned his being. As Ish Yehudi, Mordechai Yehudi, he was Jewish in all his being, so he was called Ish Yehudi. He fulfilled his mission in life as being a real Ish. What kind of Ish? Yehudi. Moshe, Ish Elokim. Moshe got to the highest level of his being, being the man of God. And Eliezer came to the highest level of being a slave, fulfilling his task in life, and that moment is called Ish. But when he finishes this highlight, he is again a slave to tell us that he fulfilled his mission in life. And the idea is to teach us. As we always say, it's not a story. What is a slave? Eved Hashem. A slave of God. Eliezer's got a daughter.